Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, did you come ready to receive the Word of God here today? I'll tell you what, it's an honor to be part of what God's doing, not just in this church, but all around the world. I'll tell you what, it just fires me up, you know, to think that, you know, things that we're putting out there in that bin, you know, things that are going to go out there, it is going to be joined with a gospel message. It is just going to brighten some child's day. It is going to be a token of God's love to them when they have nothing. Amen. I'm excited what God's doing here. I'm excited what God's doing in this earth. Amen. Don't let the news tell you that the only news is bad news, because I tell you what, there's a lot of good news. And are you ready to hear some good news here today? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, join me in your Bibles in John chapter 1. I'm going to call this message today, The Power of the Name of Jesus. And we were singing about it today. And if you're going to walk in victory, you're going to need to know something about the name of Jesus. And I will say, so many Christians, you know, they don't know what the name of Jesus is. And you say, well, what do you mean? I know his name. I can say that name. We sing it and things like that. Well, they don't have a revelation of what Jesus' name is to them. We don't realize so many times what Jesus' name is to us, the place that it puts us in. You know, what God thinks of it, how we're supposed to use it, how we're supposed to walk victoriously in this life. And I said it Wednesday, I'm going to say it again here today, that we need not be intimidated by this life anymore. We need not to shrink back from, you know, the challenges that go around us. I'll tell you what, the days and times that we live in are very evil. They are very dark. But I'll tell you what, we have the name of Jesus. We better know how to go into this world. We better know how to use it. And we need to stop playing religion. We need to stop playing, stop playing church, or, oh, I have a tradition, I have a this or I have a that. No, we need to do what the Word of God says. We need to do it sincerely, like we mean it. Amen. We need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know that name that has been given to us. Amen. And we need to live it. We need to use it. We need to be faithful to God in these last days. Amen. Go to John chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 12. The first thing we're going to talk about of what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be a child of the living God. Now, if you're here today, you may have come in, you know, maybe you didn't, maybe you're new to the things of the Bible, maybe you're not, but I'll tell you what, you hear a lot of it in society today that everybody is a child of God. You know, musicians are singing it, people are writing it, it's, you know, this idea like every human being is a child of God. I'm going to say something that's going to shock you right now. That's absolutely a lie. That's absolutely a lie. Being a child of God doesn't just mean to be in the community of humanity. To be a child of God, the Bible tells us what must happen, what must take place. And if you are a child of God, there's been something that's been given to you. And I want to show you what's been given to you as a child of God. Go to John chapter 1 and verse 12. I'm going to start in the King James. I'm going to be using a lot of amplified scriptures here today. If you don't have your amplified Bible with you, that's okay. We're going to have it up on the screen. Folks, please never just take my word for it. Please don't just, you know, hear a pastor and just assume they're telling you the right thing. You got to see it out of the Word of God. I'm not here to preach my opinions. I'm not here to preach my philosophy. I'm here to give you God's Word. Amen? And that keeps us all safe. Because you know what? My agenda is not my own. It's the plan of God. You ready to stir yourselves up here today? Don't let the 42-degree morning that you had cool you off. You know, don't let the raindrops and all that. I know it's a busy time of year. Kids are back in school or whatever. But I tell you what, stir yourself up to receive the Word of God. Because I'll tell you what, one thing we don't have here at Family Church, and that's down services. We don't have down services. All right, John chapter 1 in verse 12, it tells us who exactly is a child of God. It says, but as many as have received him, that's referring to Jesus. But as many as received Jesus, to them gave God the Father power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. How is it that someone becomes a child of God or a son or daughter of God? They must what? Believe on His name. Sounds a lot like Romans 10:13. But whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It sounds a lot like Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There's no other name given under heaven to men whereby we must be saved. How is it that you receive your salvation? You receive it through the name of Jesus. So those that have received and have believed upon Him, they are the ones that became the sons, daughters, or the children of God. Can we bring this up in the Amplified version? We're living in a day and a time it just says, oh, everyone's a child of God. Well, everyone is invited to be a child of God, but that does not happen until you make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. You say, well, Pastor, that just seems exclusive. No, the Bible says, whosoever shall believe, whosoever shall call. Being a Christian is not an exclusive club. It's an invitation to the whole world. But if you just think because you were born as a human being that you're automatically a child of God, you're deceived. It's deception to say you're a child of God just because you're a human being. Well, we're all made by God. We're all made in His image. Yeah, that was the original intention. And then sin got into humanity and broke that relationship. And now the only way to become a child of God is to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, I could just spew those kind of, you know, they're sentimental thoughts. It's a sentimental idea to just say, oh, everyone's a child of God. It might be sentimental. It might give a fuzzy feeling to somebody, but it's a lie. And I'm not going to preach a lie. Amen. John chapter 1 and verse 12 in the Amplified, look what it says, how the Amplified words it. But to as many as did receive and welcome Jesus, He gave the authority, the power, the privilege, the right to become the children of God. That is to those who believe in, adhere to, trust, and rely on His name. Is there anybody here that has decided to trust and rely on the name of Jesus? Wonderful. Well, you can bring it back up in the King James, that's fine. Verse 12 says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave something. You know, how many of you know when you made Jesus your Lord and Savior, it wasn't just a new label that anyone was sticking on you? It wasn't a new tradition that someone was giving you? It wasn't just, oh, I'm getting a new religion? In God's mind, He says, when you made Jesus your Lord and Savior, He gave you something, and what He gave you is power. Glory to God. Isn't it good to be a child, a son or daughter of God? It says He gave you something. That something is power to become something you weren't before. When it says He gave you power to become a son of God, wasn't just, well, I walked into a church and I joined a church. I'll tell you what, some of you sit here like you just don't care. I'll tell you what, the boldness of God is on me today. Like Reverend Greer says, I'm just going to start scattering parts. Because, you know, I'll see as a pastor, I will watch as person after person, the devil eats their lunch. You know, and the reason why the devil eats their lunch, because they sit in services like this, and they act like they don't care. Receive the word. Jesus said, for the measure in which you hear the word will be measured back to you again. Don't criticize those that are happy and rejoicing to hear the word. They're just feeding the way God told them to feed on the word. God said, I will measure back a greater measure because you actually cared about what you are hearing. You know when my life changed is when I started caring about what my pastor was saying. I would come in and I would sit, and it started in the Fredonia Church, and then when we were in the Holiday Inn, when this church was starting in September of 2003, and there was barely a handful of us. We'd sit there and there was nobody, but you know what? Who was there? My pastor was there. The Word of God was there. A few others of us were there, and so Jesus was there. And I would sit there, and I just cared what he was preaching. I would sit there, and I realized, I need to get this. This is precious to me. I don't care if it's in a weird hotel conference room at a weird time in the day. It was a strange setting how this church started, you know. But the Word was there, and I cared about it, and it changed my life. This is your help, folks. This is your help. So as many as received Jesus, God gave you the power to become something that you weren't before. That word power, it means literally to transform you from your old self to this new child or son or daughter of God. Well, it's good to know that we've received power, you know? So where's the power at now? It's with us. He gave us power to become the sons of God. That's why, you know, when God gives you that power, your life is going to change. You're going to look different. The old you and the new you should be different. The new you acts different, talks different, because you became something different. All right, when I got saved, I didn't just get a new heavenly address. I became something. I was changed to become the son of God. All right, amen. And now, what's it mean to be a son of God? Well, here's a good thing. When you become a son or daughter of God, you inherit what belongs to the Father. So I'm now making the connection. Now remember, how did we become? How did we get that power to become the sons of God? Because we believed on the name. How did we get the power to become the sons and daughters of God? We believed on the name. So you can say it this way. The name made you something. Because Jesus wasn't here. Physically speaking, Jesus had already long been gone off this earth. 2,000 years ago, he ascended. But his name was left here. And his name gave you something even when he was not here. His name took his place on this earth. You received it and you became a son, daughter, or child of God. Amen. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. It sure is good to be a child of God here today. Why? Because what belongs to the Father is given to the child. How many of you know I have things in my life that someday my boys will own? You know, how many of you know they're going to inherit things from me? The Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Right? And so there's things that I have right now. And actually, even before they're officially handed over an inheritance, how many of you know they get to use and enjoy those things? Praise the Lord. And so go over to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 17. Praise God. It sure is good to be a child of God. Well, you need to call yourself that because that's what God calls you. You know, say, well, Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, he is the Son, but you are a son. Right? Sounds a lot like Romans 8:14. We're actually going to be right there. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. All right? So Jesus is the first and greatest, the eldest son, so to speak, but he's not the only one, right? He gave us power to become the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Now go to Romans 8:17. And now, of course, we better back up to verse 16 because it's so good. The teacher in me will not allow us to just skip right to verse 17. The Bible says, well, go up to verse 14. We have verse 13, anybody? Verse 12, anybody? Verse 12, verse 12, verse 12, verse 13, verse 12, 11, 11. Do I hear 11? Do I hear 11? 10. Do I hear 10? Do we got 10? We got 10. Woo! Verse 14, like I just quoted a second ago in the King James, says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you led by the Spirit? Yep. If God can have his way in your life, you're his son or daughter. Amen. And verse 15 says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba, no, it's not the name of a 70s band. No, it's not the dancing queen. All right. Some of you got it. Some of you didn't. You're going to be like, what is he talking about? The word Abba means father. Notice we have received the spirit of adoption. So who's been adopted? We have been. What have we been adopted into? His house. We are now his sons and daughters, right? Verse 16, it says the Spirit himself, the word it was put in the King James, but the word in the Greek is himself. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What does that mean? When you're a child of God, you know it. Yes. On the inside, you just know you're a child of God, all right? So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Remember how he gave us power to become the children of God? All right, now verse 17, what's it mean to be a child of God. It says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So I got good news for you. God has just written you into his inheritance. That is good news. Why? Because he has it all. Glory to God. So what does it mean to be a child of God? It means to be chosen as somebody that God trusts to spend his wealth in the future. Isn't that what an inheritance is? You know, how many of you know, if you walked in here today and I told you that your great, great uncle, we need a good name here. Last night I used the name Igor. Let's say your great, great uncle Igor was a very wealthy man, and you walked in here today and I said, hey, I got good news for you. Uncle Igor left you an inheritance. The first thing that you'd say to me is, I don't have an Uncle Igor. All right, I say, well, guess what? You do now. And he was extremely wealthy, and he wrote you into his inheritance. What would be your reaction to that? Glory to God, right? Oh, really? Well, how much was Uncle Igor worth? What does Uncle Igor have? Because now what was Uncle Igor's, you now have got revelation that what was Uncle Igor's is now going to be yours. And why does an inheritance, why does it mean something to you or to a person that receives an inheritance on this earth? What does it do for them? They can what? Spend it. It's not just to say you have it, you know. You're like that guy in that movie, that football player, right? Show me the money. Right? I don't know what movie that was. Oh, wait. Yes, I do. Don't watch that. I don't watch that. I haven't seen that. I don't even see. That's a cardinal rule for preachers. Don't start mentioning movies because then people go see it. I haven't seen that movie as a Christian, so don't you go see it. I didn't even remember what movie it was from. I just remember some football player saying, show me the money, right? And what that means is when you receive an inheritance, that means that somebody trusted you to take their wealth and carry it into the future. Their wealth, their belongings, what's special to them has now been entrusted to you as an heir. All right? So you would rejoice if great Uncle Igor left you something. You would start saying, what's it worth? What can I do with it? Can I pay my, is it enough to pay off my house? Is it enough to pay off my car? Or is it enough to you pay off? Yeah, glory to God, to pay off the church. That's right. You know, is it enough to go well beyond that? What can that inheritance do? Wouldn't you want to know? I mean, you wouldn't just say, oh, that's great. I don't even want to know about it. You wouldn't do that. Don't act like you would. You would probably real discreetly because you'd want to be spiritual. You'd want to be real humble and be like, oh, yeah, so this Uncle Igor that I didn't even know about 10 minutes ago left me something. What's the next question out of your mouth? How much? Right? Why would you ask the question how much? Because you want to know how much influence that inheritance is going to have on your life. If he left you $1,000, great. But if he left you $10,000, even better. If he left you $100,000, hey. If he left you $2 million, oh yeah. See, as the number grows in your mind, you know, oh, okay, now that number gets me this, that. I can do this. I can clear out all my debt. I can have something nice. I can save something for my kids. I can send them to college debt-free. All the stuff that, all the influence that inheritance would have would grow as you realize the amount was more and more. If great-great-uncle Igor leaves you $100, you're thinking, okay, that's a nice dinner. If he leaves you $1 million, you're thinking more than a nice dinner, aren't you? If he leaves you more than that, you're thinking, I'm paying off this church and that church and this church. Right? All right? Because the power of that inheritance, their value of it, it'll change your life. It'll have influence on your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you're here and if you're new and you're thinking, oh my goodness, this pastor sounds money-minded. This is an illustration. All right, it's for an illustration because I'm letting you know that you are more than great-great-uncle Igor's heir. You are the heir to your heavenly Father. Everything he has, he's now entrusted to you and to your future. What does it mean when God, who owns 410 billion galaxies moving at the speed of light, he now says, it's all yours. It's all yours. If we're children, then we're chosen heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus, right? Who remembers the song that says that? Does anyone remember the old hymn that says, join heirs with Jesus? I tried this in Erie and everyone looked at me like I was nuts last night. Is there anybody here that remembers that song at all? Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. We had at least 10 hands and I know all of you are 100% correct. I remember that song. I remember growing up. I remember hearing it in the churches that I went to growing up. Join heirs with Jesus as we... Anyway. You say, well, Pastor, don't you know any more words than that? No. I don't. No, I got to find that song. It's an old hymn. It's a good one, I think. But it does say that we are joint heirs with Christ, and that's where it comes from. We are co-heirs. Co-heirs with Jesus. Co-heirs means that we have now received the same inheritance that God gave Jesus. So that's why, because all sons get the same. How many of you know that God is very fair? What he gave to the eldest, the firstborn son, Jesus, he is now giving to all of us, sons and daughters. Amen. So let me ask you, are you a child of God here today? Are you an heir of God? Are you a joint heir with Christ? Yes, you are. It says, so that we would suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. Now go with me to Hebrews chapter 1, and now it's time to look at how much. Because if Uncle Igor left you something, the first question you'd real shyly and real sheepishly ask, oh yeah? How much? How much? What is it? What did he leave me? Now we're going to look at what your father has left you. We're going to look at what your father has left you for the inheritance. How much? How much? So, how much money is God going to give me? Oh, way more than any money could even... Money can't even put a price on what he gave you. He gave you something more than money. Oh, really? Well, what did he give me? Gave me a new house then. He's going to give me this, give me this, give me this. I'm going to show you what God's going to give you. Go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. We're going to start in the Amplified. If you don't have an Amplified Bible with you, I understand that. You can read on the scripture or the screen with the scripture behind me. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. It says, in many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. In the old days, God spoke to this world through the use of a prophet. All right? And each one revealed another part of God's truth, okay? But see, now, verse 2, we live in a better time. It says, but in the last of these days, it says, God has spoken to us in the person of a son. Who is the son? Jesus. How did God decide to speak to this earth? Through his son. Of course, Jesus was a prophet, but he was more than a prophet. He was the son of God. He was the heir. And so now God is speaking to this earth through his son, Jesus Christ, and of course, the body of Christ, which is the church. But in the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of a son, whom God has appointed heir and lawful owner of how many things? All things. Also by and through whom God created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. God made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order through Jesus. Glory to God. All right, so who is Jesus? He is the heir and the legal owner of everything. Who do you see in that verse? Come on now. See, when you see Jesus' inheritance, you should start to see your own inheritance. Why? Because you're a son of the living God. Do we have any joint heirs with Jesus here today? All right, half of you are excited about that. The other half are waiting for the Bills to get crushed by the Packers today. I said that last week, and they surprised us all, right? I don't think they will surprise us 2 weeks in a row. I don't. All right? I don't, but I could be wrong. But again, folks, get excited about this. Don't sit here in church like a bump on a log and then go and watch a football game later and be jumping and slapping high fives if you're a Packers fan. Packers fans will be giving high fives. I doubt too many Bills fans will be. Pastor, why do you rail on the Bills so hard? I'll tell you why, because I hate them. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I am a Bills fan, unfortunately. You know, praise the Lord. And I'm just trying to wake some of you up, all right? Who is Jesus? He is the heir and the legal owner of how many things? All things. Who do you see in that verse? Us. Why? Because you're a joint heir with him. You are just as much an heir of what was God's as Jesus is. Verse 3. Are you ready? Okay. You need to let this process. I am a child of God. I have the power to be the child of God because I've believed on his name. I am a joint heir with Christ, and Christ is the legal owner of everything. And so why are you scared about what you face in this world? Wait a minute. I'm an heir. Poverty can't destroy me. Sickness can't destroy me. Fear cannot ruin my life. Depression is not going to win. Come on now. Look at verse 3 in the Amplified. Jesus is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying of radiance of the divine. Jesus is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining, guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When Jesus had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of our guilt, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. Verse 4, this is why I say if you can't afford any study materials, if you can afford one, buy an Amplified Bible. Jesus taking a place and rank by which he himself became as much superior to angels as the glorious name and title of Jesus, which he has inherited, is different and more excellent than the names of angels. How many of you believe the name of Jesus is more excellent than angels? All right, let's camp out in verse 4 here, because verse 4 tells us a lot about the name of Jesus. I'm going to give you three things here before we dismiss today that you must know about the name of Jesus. All right. Number 1. Are you ready? Jesus' name was inherited. Do you see that in the verse? Jesus himself became much superior to angels as the glorious name or title of Christ, which he has inherited. Jesus inherited his name. Remember when you said Uncle Igor left me a wonderful inheritance? The first question you would ask is, how much? Or what is it? Here's the big unveiling of what God planned from the eternal past to reveal to his son Jesus, that his son would accomplish the riddance of our guilt, the washing of our sins, that Jesus would sit down at the right hand of the Father and receive his inheritance. And Jesus the Son says, Father, I obeyed. I did it. Their sins are now washed and cleansed. And the Father said, well done, son. Here's your inheritance. And when God revealed the inheritance to Jesus, it was his name. His name isn't what we call him. His name is not just an identity or a designation to know who he is. His name is an inheritance. His name is better than money. It's better than houses or lands. It's better than all that was made in creation. God said, here it is, son. I'm going to give you a name. That name is now your inheritance, and you are to share it with your body. Who is his body? We are. Who are the joint heirs with Christ? We are. Who are saved in his name? We are. Amen. And so Jesus, you know, now you're all sitting here and you say, okay, this big climactic moment, and I wanted to hear something more. I wanted to hear about the reaches of space and the ages of time. I wanted to hear how Jesus inherited the universe and all that. Oh, he did inherit that, remember? He's the legal owner of everything. But when it came down to it, God said, here it is, son. Your name is an inheritance. Why is that important for you to know? Remember why we asked? Why do you want to know about how much Uncle Igor left you in his inheritance? Why would you want to know? Because the more it is, the more influence you can have. The bigger it is, the more it impacts your life. All right? So when God needed to give Jesus something that would be unstoppable, that would be priceless, he gave him the name. And why do you want to know about what an inheritance? Because an inheritance is what? It's to be spent. An inheritance is when you trust somebody with your riches to carry it into the future when you're not there. Jesus' name is an inheritance. It is to be spent. It is to be used. It is to be carried as a priceless inheritance, and we've got it. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Inheritance is something that is given out of trust with the idea that your wealth is moving into the future. Glory to God. Jesus' name was given to him because of his accomplishment. And now his name, like an inheritance, has purchasing power. How were you purchased from your sins? His name. How are you going to be purchased into God's health? The name. How are you going to be purchased the peace of God? Name. How are you going to purchase a life that is free from fear and depression? The name. Glory to God. Number one, the name is an inheritance. What does that mean? When you have an inheritance, that means you have more than you had before. Aren't you glad to be the richest human beings on this earth? While the whole earth is chasing power and influence through money, God said, I'm going to confound the whole system. I'm going to throw a wrench in their whole system, and I'm going to make these people down here that call on the name of Jesus, I'm going to give them the ultimate inheritance. Because money can't buy what the name of Jesus can buy. Money can't buy health. It cannot buy happiness. It cannot buy salvation. It cannot buy the freedom of guilt. But the name of Jesus can buy the freedom of guilt. Name of Jesus can buy happiness. The name of Jesus can buy health. It can buy provision. It can buy joy and purpose and fulfillment in this life. Glory to God. Isn't it good to be the richest sons and daughters that have ever walked this earth? You say, well, Pastor, what is this? This is what's available to every Christian on the face of the globe. If they would understand, I've inherited the name. The name is what I've been given. All right? So number one, Jesus' name is an inheritance. Are you ready? Here's the second thing that you must know about the name of Jesus. All right? You're there in verse 4. Notice that Jesus, it says, taking a place and a rank. How many of you know Jesus received a promotion after his resurrection? How do you promote someone who is already the Son of God? You make him the King of Kings. You make him the Lord of Lords. You make him the head of all things to the church, which is his body that fills all in all. Jesus was promoted and say, what? You know, you mean Jesus wasn't always in this same position for eternity in the past? No. You say, well, he was always the Son of God. He always was part of the divine Trinity. He was always God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But it was at this moment when he accomplished the cleansing of our sins and the riddance of our guilt is when he walked in, the Bible says, Jesus presented his own blood before the Father. And God said, well done. I will accept that sacrifice for their sins. And he said, now sit down, and I'm now going to give you a rank. He said, I'm going to give you the highest rank. How many of you know that our names in and of themselves have no rank? The name of Tim is not a rank of anything. All right? Or the name of Katie, or the name of Brad, or the name of Randy, or your name. Your name, it might have some meaning, and maybe you inherited your last name, you know, through, your family line and so on. But how many of you know there's no real rank in our names? But Jesus' name is a rank. All right, what if I said, okay, you know, forget the name of Tim, Katie, Brad, or Randy, but let's talk about military titles or names. How about what if I said the name of commander? What if I said the name of captain or major or general? See, now you understand, okay, now those names, those titles have rank. And when you hear those names, that means, you know, there's a hierarchy. And what rank is when the voice and instruction and judgments can be overruled by someone with a greater rank. How many of you know if a corporal, you know, gives a command, and a captain says, no, we're doing this. Guess whose word overrules it? The captain. Why? Because he outranks that corporal. You know? Or a lieutenant. But then let's say the captain gives an order, but a major says, nope, we're doing something different. Guess who gets his way? The major. Why? He gets to overrule that captain because he outranks that captain. Then a general hears of it. And a general hears what the major's doing and says, I want to do something different. So I'm going to give this command. And the command of the general outranks and overrules the commands of everyone else. All right? Unless it was the commander-in-chief. All right? And so you understand rank means that someone's voice, someone's actions can be overruled by someone of a greater rank. Now, Jesus' name is a rank, and let me show you this in the Word. Hold your place there in Hebrews chapter 1. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Glory to God. You getting something out of this here today? Go to Philippians 2:9. Boy, it sure is good to be a joint heir with Jesus. Sure is good to be a son or daughter of God. Sure is good to be the richest sons and daughters that are on this earth, because our inheritance was revealed. What are we getting? We're getting the name. We're getting the name. And that's right. That name represents what? The legal ownership of all things. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. And of course, leading up to this verse, we see Jesus humbled himself. He became obedient to the death of the cross. It told us what he went through. And then it says this in verse 9. I'm going to read it in the King James. It says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him. That word exalted could be the word promoted. See, we don't think of that Christ was actually promoted when he was risen from the grave. God has also highly exalted him, promoted him, or elevated him, and has given him, through an inheritance, a name which is above every name. That's why we say Jesus' name is a rank. It's the highest rank that exists anywhere in creation. How awesome is this? What happens when the name of Jesus is spoken? Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, meaning at the spoken name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Notice the name of Jesus is supreme in three worlds. It is supreme in heaven. It's the highest rank in heaven. God made it that way. God made that name the highest name that can be mentioned. When that name is spoken in heaven, angels hit the floor. Cherubims, you know, cherubim angels and seraphim angels will hit down on their knees and they will worship. It will bring all heaven to a halt. The name of Jesus. And the Bible says not only things in heaven, but things in earth. Every name in this earth will bow to the name of Jesus. So the name is supreme in heaven. It's supreme in earth. And notice it says things under the earth. That is a reference to hell. When that name is spoken in hell, it trembles and shakes. Glory to God. And so I guess the point is here, if Jesus' name can bring everything to a halt and could cause everything in heaven to bow, how can it not cause the things on this earth to bow to that name? Go back up there to verse 9. What about the name of Jesus? It is above every name. Not just names of people, but it's above the names of sickness. It's above the names of bipolar disorders. If that sickness and illness has a name, the name of Jesus overrules and outranks that name. People hear the name of cancer and they fear. Well, I got news for you. There is a name that overrules and outranks the name of cancer. There is a name that overrules and outranks fear and depression and anxiety or financial lack. Come on now. The name of Jesus is above everything that is named. It outranks and overrules. So when this earth starts telling you, you don't have enough, someone needs to speak up and outrank it. Think about this. Think about this. Through the name of Jesus, we take our inheritance and we pull rank on every demon in this earth. We pull rank on every trial in this earth. We pull rank on every form of depression and illness and poverty, sin, any sin that's out there. Guess what? The name of Jesus will break it. Every addiction out there, the name of Jesus will break it. Glory to God. God has highly exalted him, promoted him, and given him a name that outranks every single name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That means when the commands and judgments and the voices of this world start telling you it has to be this way, if it goes against God's word, it's time to outrank. It's time to pull it. Oh, no, this is just what happens. You got to be miserable. You have to be depressed now. You have to, you know, go without. You have to be beaten down, busted, and disgusted like everybody else on this earth. Outrank it. When symptoms come on your body and say, that's just what happens. This is just sick people. People that get what you got don't make it. Or only half of them make it. No, the Bible says over there in Psalm 118, he says, I will live and not die, and I will declare the works of the Lord. You better outrank that with the word. You better use that name of Jesus when temptation is raging against you to do things that you know that you shouldn't. In the name of Jesus, I'm not touching that anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not watching that anymore. I'm not putting that in my body anymore. Christians need to stop being so weak and intimidated by this world. You do not need to be intimidated anymore. You've inherited all things. My goodness, Pastor, it sounds like, man, the way you're talking, sounds like we're just kings on this earth. It sounds a lot like Revelation 1:6. You know, it talks about in verse 5 how he washed us with his blood and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to who belongs dominion and glory forever and ever. Amen. What are we? Kings and priests. Bible says over there in Romans 5:17, it says that we will reign in life by one. The Amplified says we will reign as kings in life by one, Christ Jesus. So many Christians, they think that the way to humility is to act defeated. Defeat never glorified God. Victory. His name is the God of victory. His name is the God of victory. It says his name is a banner of victory. Hallelujah. So many Christians, but I'm defeated. And therefore, you know, so many people, they'll go over there, they'll quote 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, Jesus told Paul with a thorn in the flesh that his strength is made perfect in weakness. That's right. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. His strength will come to the top. Why would God give you his strength if he didn't want you to be victorious with it? Yeah, oh, I admit, I stand here before you today. In and of ourselves, we are weak nothing. We are weak nothing. I'm not talking about the strength of ourselves. I'm talking about the name of Jesus that makes up for every bit of weakness that humanity has. Amen. All right? And now, in closing, why are you laughing? Some people are laughing at me. The first thing is that Jesus' name is an inheritance. Spend it. Use it. All right? I've demonstrated what it means. If symptoms come on my wife or on my kids, guess what I'm doing? In the name of Jesus, sickness and illness, you are trespassing against the body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, get off. No, I don't jump up at the counter at Wegmans and do this. No, I'm not running down the street. No, I'm not, you know, standing, I'm not doing, you know, cartwheels and, you know, and saying this stuff and acting like a granola bar, you know, fruity, flaky, and nutty. But I tell you what, just, in, you know, you better have that revelation of Jesus' name. And when stuff comes against you, God's not getting off his throne to deal with your problem today. Jesus is not going to pace the floor at the right hand of God because you're going through a trial. He's going to look at the Father, and the Father's going to look at him and said, Son, I thought you gave them the inheritance. And the Son's going to say to the Father, I did give them the inheritance. But there's just one problem, Father. No one's telling them about it. No one's telling them what they've received. Old Uncle Igor could have left you some, you know, hefty-duty money, but if you didn't know about it, it will go to waste. That's what my job is, to tell you the inheritance that he's given you. Number one, his name is an inheritance. Spend it. Number two, his name is a rank. Overrule and outrank those things that come against you. Speak to him. And number three, are you ready? Jesus' name represents a place. Now go back over to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4 again. Notice what it says in Hebrews 1, 4. I'm going to be in the Amplified. Remember that Jesus took a place and a rank. Look at the verse again. Jesus took a place and a rank. We now see in the scripture what that rank was. It's the name above every name. Now, go up one verse to verse 3, and it'll tell us what place he took. What place did Jesus take? Go down there about the second half of the verse here. It says, when he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and the riddance of our guilt, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. What place did Jesus take? The right hand of God. Why the right hand? Because God's right-handed and not left-handed. Nope, sorry, southpaws. No, that's obviously not the case. The right hand in the Bible represents the ruling side of God. Like, for instance, in the Old Testament, Judah had the scepter of righteousness or the scepter of power given in his right hand. The New Testament calls it the right hand of fellowship, all right? Whenever you see, you know, back in those days when a king would make a decree, he'd put that golden staff in his right hand and he would declare a new law. And so God is telling us that the right hand is the place of authority for all creation. Jesus sat down in the seat of all authority for creation. Why does that matter to you? Because some of you are thinking, well, that must be nice to be Jesus. Because if I was seated at the right hand of God, then I could say some things myself, right? Well, let me show you, for the sake of time, you are on that throne. See, right now you think you're sitting at 3130 Garfield Road in Jamestown, New York. But see, God says you're seated somewhere else. He sees it different than you see it. Are you ready? I'm just going to show you some verses. Can you bring up Revelation 3:21? You just bring it up in the King James, that's fine. Revelation 3:21, we're going to close here in just a moment, but hang in there. You got to know this. Jesus says, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. The Bible says if you've overcome with Christ, you are seated with Christ on his throne. Not good enough? Well, let me show you another verse. Can you bring up Ephesians 2:6? And this makes it current. This is what God says is going now. The Bible says that God has raised us up together. That means together with Jesus. When Jesus rose again, we rose again. God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are you sitting right now? At the right hand of the majesty on high. See, some of you are saying, well, I don't feel like I am. That's your problem. You're always living by your feelings. Don't you? People always say, well, I'm just waiting to feel God. You're waiting to feel God, you'll never feel God. Because God doesn't care about what you feel. He cares about what you believe. Well, I'm waiting to feel God. So many Christians all the time tell me they feel demons. Well, that's the problem. That's why those demons are harassing you, because you're always living by your feelings. I don't care what the devil's doing today. I don't talk about what demons are up to. I don't go trying to see demons. Listen, you're not spiritual because you see demons. All right, you're not spiritual at all. You're spiritual when you know the word to the point where you ignore demons. I'm not scared of what the devil's doing today. He's scared of what I'm doing today. I got the name, he doesn't. I got the inheritance, he doesn't. All things bow to the name that's been given to me. And so people always, they're so demon and devil conscious. You know what you're just making yourself look like? You're making yourself look stupid. You know, oh, demon this, demon that, demon this, demon that. No, how about Jesus this, Jesus that, you know? No, I don't care. Don't care. Don't care what the demons are doing. Pastor, aren't you scared? You're nervous? Nope. Don't care about what demons are doing. Well, what about the devil? I don't care what the devil's doing today. I don't care. You know what? Because I have the name. He's scared of what I'm doing today. You know, if you understood that the name of Jesus, the presence of God in you, you're like a freight train. All right? You're a freight train screaming down the tracks. And those demons are just dogs barking at the trains going by. The train doesn't stop for the barking dogs. Amen. Amen. So many people, I'm scared of this. I'm scared of this. I'm feeling this. I'm feeling that. Stop living by your feelings. Say, well, no, I believe this. I believe I'm a son of God. I believe I'm a co-heir with Christ. I believe I have the inheritance of the name. I believe that that name is spoken and it outranks and overrules everything in this life. And I believe that when I speak that name, I am speaking from the ultimate place of authority in all creation. Therefore, I am not scared. Therefore, I'm not beaten. I'm not defeated. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. Money can't take it away. You know, a job coming or going can't take away this name. Can't take away this inheritance. You know, there's no symptom. There's no virus. There's no anything that can take that inheritance away. So stop being so scared. And don't be so intimidated by what's going on in this world. I'll tell you what, this world don't intimidate us. We intimidate the world. Yeah. Anyhow. Say, well, Pastor, I just need that boldness and strength. You know where you get it? See, you just spend so much time. You meditate. You read. You repeat it. It gets in you. You know, it just gets in you and it gets a hold of you. And really, it'll make you live the way God planned for you to live. Uncrushable. Uncrushable. He raised us up together. He made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ. When I speak that name, I'm speaking from the place of all authority. Now, real quick, again, in review, the name is what? It's an inheritance. Spend it. He's not going to get off the throne and spend it for you. All right? You're going to use that name in the face of temptations. You're going to use that name in the face of addictions. You're going to use that name in the face of depression and anxiety. Stop waiting for a good feeling before you get faithful to use that name. That name isn't for the good feelings. You know, I mean, it is, but you don't understand, like, so many times, you know, people will just say, you know, when things are going good, oh, glory to God. Oh, I'm just blessed in Jesus' name because things look good. What, did you lose your blessing because things don't look good today? Did that trial take away the blessing? Did it take away your sonship? Didn't steal your inheritance, did it? No. So it's not about what things look like or how they feel today, you know. But, I mean, you know, if that's an illness, if it's depression, if it's lack, every day of my life, I call this building paid in full in Jesus' name. Paid in full in Jesus' name. Every day of my life, I call my home paid in full in Jesus' name. You say, well, that just sounds selfish. No, God expects you to use his name for provision on this earth. Every day of my life, I say 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name. I say 6075 Peachtree is paid in full in Jesus' name. And then I use my address and I say it's paid in full in Jesus' name. I lay hands on my son and I said, they will live long on this earth and turn many from iniquity in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that all my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. Isaiah 54:13. Amen. The Bible says over there in Psalm 127, it says that my children will tear down the gates of the enemy. Amen. The Bible says as like an arrows are to a mighty warrior, so are the children of my youth. See, we need to get a hold of the word. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 112, it says that my children shall be mighty seed upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in their house, and their righteousness shall endure forever. Imagine speaking that scripture over your kids every day in the name of Jesus. Speak God's word. Folks, this life will absolutely dominate you and destroy you if you don't know the name of Jesus. The devil is going to knock on your door. He's going to knock on your mind today and tomorrow and for the rest of your life to see if you remember your inheritance in the name. You know? And that's where so many Christians, they get just busted and disgusted in this life. Here's another thing I just feel in my heart to say. So many Christians, they feel unworthy to use the name. Well, listen, there's two ways to go about that. All right? Number one, if you are in sin, if you are living a life of sin and you are, there's something in your life that you know God's trying to deal with you, you're going to have to confess that sin. You're going to have to get past it. Because sin will destroy your confidence. It will destroy your boldness. And when your boldness is destroyed, you're like, I don't feel like I can use the name of Jesus. Well, that's because your confidence is destroyed by the decisions you're making. All right, but here's the second thing. You have to know that you didn't make yourself worthy. There was nothing worthy about you. Nothing worthy about me either. God didn't save us because we were worthy. He gave the one who was worthy to save those of us, all of us, who were unworthy. Sounds like Romans 5:8, doesn't it? That God demonstrated his love for us, that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Yeah? I mean, think about that. God didn't look at you and said, oh, you know what? They deserve it. No, there was nothing about us that was worthy. So when you get that name, if you don't feel boldness, don't use that name on your worthiness. Use that name on his worthiness. Yeah, praise the Lord. There is this, of course, many of you are familiar with Kenneth E. Hagin. It was in 1950, a minister, a wonderful minister by the name of Kenneth Hagin. He's in heaven now. He lived to 86 years old. He went home to be with the Lord in 2003. But in 1950, he said he had an experience where the Lord appeared to him. And he said he wasn't trying to have that experience. He wasn't, praying for that or something. And he said to the Lord, he saw Jesus. And he said, I hit my knees and I felt so unworthy. He said, sat there on the floor and just kept saying, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And he said, Jesus said in a stern, hard voice, he said, stand on your feet now. And when he stood up real sheepishly, he said, I made you worthy. I'll never forget hearing that testimony, that story. I believe it. You know, and of course, that's just, you can't live on someone else's experiences, but obviously, you're going to have to make that judgment call. I believe it. And I couldn't, that's exactly right, because the word tells us he made you worthy. Even when you don't feel like it, even when, you feel like you're a failure, you're dealing with discouragement, you use the name of Jesus, not on your worthiness, but on his. Did you get something out of this here today? Amen. It'll help you. It'll change your life. Live by it. Use it. All right, no, don't get squirrely and flaky and running around. And listen, also, too, you understand, Folks, you don't tell other people what to do in the name of Jesus. Men, don't go home and tell your wife to clean the house in the name of Jesus. Ladies, don't go home and tell your husbands to clean the garage in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not to be exercised over human will. You understand? Oh, well, I told you to do this in Jesus' name. Or don't go, if you're a business owner, don't go and start commanding your employees in the name of Jesus. You're going to lose your company in a hurry. Married folks, you'll lose your marriage in a hurry. You start commanding people what to do in the name of Jesus. No. Well, you can pray for people in the name of Jesus. How many people I pray for in the name of Jesus? Father, I thank you. They will not be lost. Pray for them. Pray for loved ones. Pray for those individuals. Use that name. Don't go up to them and say, you need to get saved in Jesus' name. Well, actually, maybe that's exactly what they need. But you understand the point that I'm making. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Father, we are so glad to know we are the sons and daughters of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. We have inherited his name. Thank you, Father God. We praise you. That name is our inheritance. We're to spend it. That name is the greatest rank. We are to outrank and overrule anything on this earth. Father, we thank you that that name represents a place. The right hand of your throne, the place of authority for all creation. Father, we'll use it. We believe it. Father, we're not just preaching this to make for good preaching. Father, we got to live by this. Father, we pray that this word would sink deep into our heart. Father God, I pray that everyone here would get that revelation. They wouldn't back away from it. Father, but they would make it so important in their life. And Father, we'll just give you all the praise and glory today. With all heads bowed and every eye closed, before we dismiss, the most important question I could ever ask you, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you committed your heart to him? Have you done what the Bible says in Romans 10:9? The Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. This is not a family church idea. This is God's idea. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I've never committed my life to Christ. I've never invited Jesus in my heart. Let me tell you the truth. There is a hell to shun, but there is a heaven to gain. Hell is a real place, but the good news is so is heaven. And God made a way for you to never have to see the likes of hell, but that you could know him and know his Savior and have eternal life. So if you're here today and that's you and you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need to make Jesus. I need to invite him into my heart. I want to be saved. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come down front. I'm going to keep you right there in your seat. I'm not going to point you out or anything like that. But I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I will lead this entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anyone else? I see that hand. You can put it down. And that hand, you can put it down. Is there anyone else before we pray? God loves you. He's not mad at you. If you lifted your hand, I encourage you, pray this prayer with all of your heart. Mean it. God will hear you. He will grant you that eternal life. Let's all go ahead and pray this together. Speak these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind. But let's just pray this together. Everyone say this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, isn't it awesome just to see people coming to the Lord all the time? Amen. You know, we just have seen so many people in our services this year commit their lives to Christ, and we're excited about that. Let's just go ahead and rejoice and give God the glory. We'll be dismissed. Father God, we praise you. We glorify you. Father, I command your blessing upon these people. And Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.